Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, October 16th, 2012 Harborough Board of Aldermen meeting. The first item on our agenda is a request from visitors and speakers from the floor. Let us see here.
Mark, people having trouble hearing you. I'm getting...
As a first.
I know.
All right. The first item on our agenda is requests from visitors and speakers from the floor. This is an opportunity for people who are here to speak to us on matters that are not already on our printed agenda. In other words, to raise new matters with us. Paul Van Ness, are you?
Yes.
Does that relate to an item that's already on our agenda? I don't think it does
it?
You do. That's why you came, isn't it? All right, Paul, come on up, please.
I'm Paul Van Ness at 1215A Hillsborough Road, Carrboro. You have to forgive me, I am sick with pneumonia.
And, get down, Kathy.
I thought this was
so we'll all laugh at you. There you go.
And I'm a little nervous. Mohamed Bouazizi was a Tunisian street vendor who set himself on fire on the 17th of December 2010 in protest of the confiscation of his wares and the harassment and humiliation that he reported was inflicted upon him by a municipal official and her aides. His act became a catalyst of the Tunisian Revolution and the wider Arab Spring. Now, this kind of desperation is present everywhere, even here at home. And I feel we can prevent these acts. What I'm proposing is that we erect a sign under the two oak trees in the grassy area of the police parking lot across from the Century Center on the Greensboro Road side. And that sign should read, Artisan Park, a place for artisans making handmade wares and art, with some basic rules, such as all artisans must have a sales tax ID number. No permit required, in recognition that traveling artisans don't really have time for that, to sit in the town for, I think I'm waiting for about a month for my privilege permit to be a peddler selling my art on the street, which I've already had before, but let's not get into that. And all these matters can be handled by an artisan park committee made up of the people participating in any selling of wares or art at the park. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Paul.
Well, I think that's a good idea.
All right. Well, I think our usual procedure would be to refer this suggestion or petition to the town staff.
Maybe the Arts Commission.
And the Arts Commission.
And the Arts Commission, I reckon, would be relevant to you. And ask the commission and the staff to report back to us with a response.
Could I ask that included in that response maybe some alternative locations? Because I can think of some issues with that location without thinking of issues of the idea in general. Seems very cool.
All right. Good point. All right, so I'll take that as a motion from Sammy and a second from Jackie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. This is our usual procedure for items that are not already on our agenda is that we refer them to our staff and potentially committees, and we'll hear back from them, hopefully in relatively short order. We'll be in touch with you, Mr. Van Ness, so you'll know when this item comes back before us, and you can come and hear the discussion or participate in the discussion in the future.
Thank you for hearing me.
All right. Thank you. All right. That brings us to, is there anybody else, by the way, who's here to speak like Paul did on a matter that's not on our agenda. Okay, that brings us to item B1, a resolution of appreciation for Robert and Vicki Dixon in recognition of their contributions to journalism in Carrboro. I want to point out, I should have started the whole meeting by pointing out that Alderman Dan Coleman has come down with something this evening and is unwell and couldn't join us tonight. But so I point that out to you to explain his absence, but also I wanted to particularly make the point that he's the author of the resolution that the Board of Aldermen is about to consider. And so if I might ask for there to be a motion for this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. I would like to ask all of the Dixons, anybody named Dixon who's in the audience, to come join me up at the podium. And indeed, anybody from the Carrboro Citizen to come join me up at the podium for just a moment. I want to read you the resolution. The camera's over there, so you look good if you face that way. This resolution just passed by the Board of Aldermen says, a resolution of appreciation for Robert and Vicki Dixon in recognition of their contribution to journalism in Carrboro. Whereas Robert and Vicki Dixon founded the Carrboro Citizen in 2007 in recognition of the fact that, in Robert's words, Carrboro needs a newspaper. And whereas the Carrboro Citizen achieved a weekly circulation of 7,500 copies, and whereas in a time when local news media are hard-pressed to research necessary background and fact-check their articles, the Carrboro Citizen maintained an impeccable journalistic standards. And whereas the Carrboro Citizen employed an outstanding staff, including local writers, editors, photographers, and graphic artists. And whereas the Carrboro Citizen covered all aspects of town and community life. And whereas this was achieved despite a national decline in newspaper readership each year that the Citizen was in business. And whereas the Citizen was launched at a time when many local newspapers were closing down or being bought up by national chains who subsequently decreased local coverage. And whereas national newspaper advertising revenues decreased annually each year that the Citizen was in business to the point that 2011 revenues were half of what they were in 2007. And whereas despite these obstacles and the financial challenges faced directly by the Citizen itself, Robert and Vicki Dixon soldiered on in their commitment to bring quality journalism to Carrboro. And whereas as a result of their efforts, the Carrboro Citizen became a much beloved Carrboro institution, each issue eagerly anticipated by thousands. And whereas, sadly, the Carrboro Citizen published its final edition on October 4th, 2012. Now, therefore, the Carrboro Board of Aldermen declares its appreciation of Robert and Vicki Dixon for their great contribution to journalism and community life in the town of Carrboro. And I'll also point out Susan Dixon, the editor of the Carrboro Citizen, is up here as well with us. So I want to personally say that, frankly, it is often our experience as local elected officials. I've been a local elected official a long time in this community, and it's often been our experience that certain publications have reporters who contact us with questions that indicate very little context, very little understanding of our community, and that take an awfully long time to answer. And that our experience in working with the Carrboro Citizens, writers and editor, was an outstanding experience in which that sort of thing was never a problem. We're very proud to have been home to your newspaper. And I just want to say thank you all for all that you've done for our community and continue to do, actually, outside of the Citizen. So, anyway, thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks.
many businesses that go out of business and get a standing ovation. Maybe if
Carver, you know, won't be reported.
Maybe if Carver had a McDonald's, y'all might do that. First of all, we're glad you liked what we did. You know, a community newspaper is a whole lot like a community at large. For you guys, it's a really nice resolution, but for it to just list me and Vicki, it would be like y'all doing a resolution of appreciation to, you know, David and Mark from Carborough. You know, there's a whole lot of other people that had to do with the Citizen. It was a real community effort, and that's why it was a success. And my neighbor, Cy Safransky, told me a while back, and I've kept this in my head for a month or two, is that there are many good things in life that can be described as not making money. And I think the Citizen is one of them, and that's why I'm pleased that there is a group trying to do a nonprofit. I think that's a real possibility for community newspapers to survive and to flourish. The economics aren't the same as they used to be. But if y'all would bear with me, there's so many people that were involved in this project that to just have us three up here just seems really an injustice. And so I'm gonna make you listen to a few people. You know, it starts off with Kirk Ross, who yes. co-founded this newspaper. It goes to Taylor Sisk, who's been with us since before the beginning, who's the absolute anchor of the newsroom. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, Susie has been with us since the beginning, and, you know, when I get through, she's got about 3 hours of remarks she'd like to make to y'all. Since she had to listen to y'all for a little bit. There's Liz Holm, who was the art director, who was the responsible for our colorful look. And there's Michelle Langston, who designed our website. And our final regular staff included Ann Billings, our office person, Marty Cassidy, Duncan Hogue, our designer, Rose Lottesina, who was our reporter. We had volunteer photographers. We had lots of volunteers because, you know, lots of people didn't get paid. They just wanted to work for their community newspaper. And our photographers included Alicia Stemper, whose wonderful photos grace the front page of our newspaper every week. Ted Spaulding, who took Carborough High sports photos, and they meant so much to our community. We got lots of comments about that. And David Jesse helped out. Our regular contributors included Val Schwartz, I don't know how, you can't even describe Phil Blank. I mean, he's just, he's one of a kind. Eddie Landreth, who, if you cut him, he bleeds Carolina blue. Martin Brody, who did our crypto quotes. I mean, not many newspapers have their own crypto quote specialist, it seems to be. Jock Lauderer, my friend, the follically challenged Jock. And last, but absolutely, well, there's other ones. The doctors Adam Goldstein, Christy Page, Adam Zolotor from the UNC Family Medicine, who put in, that column, House Calls, was done just for us. I mean, that didn't appear to anyplace else. And then last, but absolutely not least on the list of our regular contributors, is the astounding Ken Moore. He's got Penland held at, you know, he's got them under siege right now, so he's not here. We had Mill contributors, our monthly publication, including Mary Saunas, who wrote about fauna. If you didn't learn everything you wanted to know about the coyotes and, I guess,
owls.
It was great. Margot Lester, who wrote about film for us. Ashley Meltzer, who did music. The beer guys, Jason Cole, Levin Crouch, Israel Lazaro, Andy Dodson, who, whoever would have thought a column about beer every month would have been, I just loved it. And then Kirk and Vicky contributed every month. We also had former photographers that won awards for us, and including the wonderful photo of Ida and Bill Friday that's on our website right now, done by Ava Barlow, and the and Alex Manis and Isaac Sandlin, right. He was a guy, another volunteer that just took award-winning photos. We've been blessed by that. And we had so many interns from the J School, and we had citizens who cared enough to write letters and comments and to write columns because they cared about this place. And, I feel bad standing up here talking about the end of this newspaper, but I would ask one thing is that, don't lament the passing, celebrate the life,
Thank you. You want to talk, Susan? Susan, who's going to sit down right now, is not just a second generation newspaper woman, but I think at least a third.
She would be the fourth.
A fourth generation. The Dixons have been a landmark feature in North Carolina journalism for four generations now. Robert and his family were the editors and publishers at various times of the, I believe it's the Roanoke Rapids. Rayford, North Carolina newspaper as well. We're proud to, what makes me most proud in a lot of ways of the Citizen is the percentage of the people that you just named, Robert, who are residents of our community, who are residents of, and I just don't mean the immediate area, I mean residents of the town of Carrboro. I think it was an incredible effort, and we appreciate everything that y'all did to help cover our community, and we look forward to what comes next. None of us know what that will look like, but it's clear that the world of journalism has been changing, and changing rapidly over the last 5 years, and we hope that there is a way that the changes that have been happening in journalism as an industry will in some way find a way to continue to produce, continue to put forward the kind of local content that and local value that the Carrboro Citizen brought to our community. So thank you all.
We will continue to maintain the website as an archive, and I hope to spit that up and make it interesting. So I hope y'all keep looking at your stories, and because they're interesting stories, they're right there.
So
thank you for having us.
And if I may just touch on a slightly sensitive topic and just say that there were some other media outlets in our general area who were critical of the Citizen, of the town of Carrboro, when the Carrboro Citizen took out a loan from the town of Carrboro's Small Business Revolving Loan Fund. And first of all, let me say, I think it's important for everybody to know that that loan is current and that there is a plan in the works for the full repayment of the loan, which we're appreciative of. But I also want to say, there was a, I guess maybe I won't name the newspaper by name, but there was a newspaper one of whose reporters called me and back when the Board of Aldermen made the decision to make that loan, who called me and said, well, isn't this some kind of conflict of interest? Isn't this some kind of, problematic situation to have the local government lending money to
one of the media outlets that covers our local government. And first of all, I pointed to that, out to them how absurd that was, that there were terms of that loan. They were written down. They were on paper. And it had nothing to do, obviously, with what the editorial content of the newspaper would be, number one. But number two, I said, you know, you guys have a lot of nerve to call me and offer criticism of what these people are doing. Because I searched your website just now, meaning the newspaper that was calling, and the last article that you wrote about Carrboro was 23 days ago. So I don't, it seems like y'all have an awful lot of nerve to be critical of an effort to cover our community when in fact what you deliver is, you know, over 3 weeks old. Anyway, Robert, Susan, and Vicki, thank you all, and best of luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you very much.
And we will pay back that loan.
You're definitely going to have to now that I announced it. Yeah, where is that? They have a mountain of paper up here for me, so I apologize. I'm just sorting through some of this. I would now like to, we will get to our printed agenda, I promise you, but before we do, I would like to invite the Honorable Jay Bryan to come up to the podium and join me up here.
I didn't even see him.
You've heard that one before. I've issued this proclamation today, and I want to read it. Whereas Jay Bryan has organized and facilitated poetry readings at the Carrboro Day since its beginning in 1995, and whereas Jay Bryan has served the town of Carrboro in many ways, including as an alderman from 1987 to 1997, and whereas Jay Bryan proposed the idea of the Carrboro Poet Laureate position to the town of Carrboro in 2002, and whereas Jay Bryan has served as the Poet Laureate of the town of Carrboro since February of 2010, and whereas Jay Bryan organized the Carrboro Poets Council in 2011, and whereas Jay Bryan has led the Carrboro Poets Council in the planning and organization of the 2012 West End Poetry Festival, and whereas Jay Bryan has written eloquent poetry about Carrboro, now therefore be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, the mayor of the town of Carrboro, North Carolina, do hereby proclaim October 20th, 2012 as Jay Bryan Day in the town of Carrboro, North Carolina. Jay, we have always been honored and appreciative of our association with you as a former resident and as a nearby neighbor of our town, and so I want to present you with a copy of this resolution.
Thank you so much.
And say
appreciate
thank
it.
You for all the time. Say thank you. You know, that proclamation focuses mostly on your role in our community as a poet, but obviously probably most of us are already aware that that there are many other things that you've done as a member of our community. Judge Bryan, before becoming such, was, well, he did an awful lot of things, but among many other things was a huge advocate and participant I'm going to blank on the name. I apologize, but the
Shaping
Orange County's future. He serves currently on our Northern Transition
Area Advisory Committee. He, I'm not sure if you are now, but he has certainly served in the past on the Orange County Planning Board. I believe you were one time the chair of the Orange County Planning Board. And one thing that many of y'all may not know is that Jay has volunteered his time with the Orange County court system for decades now, frankly, representing the interests of minor children in making sure that he looks out for children who have no other advocate in our community, who have no one else to represent them in court. And anyway, we're just proud to have you as a member of our community, Jay, and say thank you very much.
Mm.
If you want to add any, just
poem.
I don't have a poem. This is a poem.
So first of all, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm very touched. And when you're a volunteer, that you just do that work and you love it, and you get so much more from what you get and from the giving process. I want to recognize the members of the Poets Council who are here. And didn't tell me what this was about. So Susan Spalt, if you'd stand up. Catherine Devine, Tyler Johnson. Come on, stand up, Tyler. And Salisa Steele is not here, but this festival is coming up on the 19th and 20th of October.
Which is Friday and Saturday.
We're competing with the Duke game, UNC game, but that was just the way it worked out. So I just want to say that none of this, the poetry festival would have been possible without the wonderful work of everybody on the council. We all work together, and I really encourage you to come. There's some very fine poets who are reading, and the and I want to say that the town of Carver has supported the Poetry Festival for many years. Even in the toughest of budget times, Carver O'Day and the Poetry Festival have survived. And the Parks and Recreation Department has been wonderful with the Arts Committee helping us on this project and giving us the opportunity to do it. So anyway, Alan Shapiro, who is a professor here at UNC and a nationally known poet, whose book of poetry, is a finalist for the National Book Award, which is an incredible honor. So he will be reading on Saturday night at around 7:30, but also on Saturday in the afternoon doing a session on poetry and so on. I just hope that some of you will come to that event. And then on Friday night, there's a poetry reading at Flyleaf Books. It begins at 6:30 to 8:30. A reception follows, too. Okay? That's enough. You all, don't you have an agenda somewhere?
Somewhere.
I mean, so I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Speaking of our regularly scheduled agenda, I'll find it somewhere. Here it is. That brings us to item C1, our consent agenda. Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the board, there are 9 items on your consent agenda. The minutes from October 2, a letter of interest to the APA for the Building Blocks for Sustainable Communities program, appointments to the Appearance Commission, Transportation Advisory Board, and Arts Committee. Item 4 is the execution of a contract for administrative consulting services for the CDBG grant related to Roberson Street Sewer. Item 5 is for a contract for photovoltaic installation at the Town Commons. Items 6, 7, and 8 are all very similar. The extension of the conditional use permits to January 1 of 2014 for the Roberson Square CUP, the Butler CUP, and the Litchfield AIS CUP. And item 9 is a contract for professional services with NCDOT, as well as NCDOT for preliminary engineering services for bicycle detectors. Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion, or are there any items that y'all want to discuss separately?
Move the consent agenda.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded for the entire consent agenda. That's got to be a first. All those in favor signify by saying surely there's something. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously. That brings us to item D1, request to consider proposals.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
See, I told you there would be something.
No. I'd like to ask that item.
Yes, I apologize. I forgot. You mentioned to me earlier. We have some scheduling issues that are going to require us to move up the Greenways item. So if we could. That's item D6.
Right. If we can move that to the first one.
We'd like to go straight to item D6, an update on the Morgan Creek Greenway.
Mr. Mayor, just Trish McGuire, you want to give a brief staff report?
Sure.